And now, Dick Tracy!
This is Dick Tracy in the case of the Moth and the Flame. Stand by for action. Let's go, men!
Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order.
Say, boys and girls, do you know how the first real man-o-war came into being? Well, just before the year 1500, warships were used to carry troops who would then fire their muskets at the enemy ships and try to close in, board them, and capture their crews. Well, along about 1525, the English king, Henry VIII, had an idea. He called in his ship designers and he said, "I want you to take 20 cannon and build me a ship around them." Well, the designers were shocked. They had never built a ship strong enough to hold cannon, which wouldn't go to pieces at the vibration of the first broadside. They tried to explain. The king just wouldn't listen. Finally, almost afraid for their lives, they went back to their drawing boards, and wonders of wonders, 3 months later, had drawn up plans for the first battleship. By making the hull of the ship broader and by using stouter timbers to brace it up, by building taller masts and fuller sails, they had actually built a ship around 20 cannon, thus promising England supremacy on the seas, building the first real man of war, all because they couldn't say no to a king. And now, Dick Tracy. Tracy and Patton are investigating a warehouse fire, a fire which gives every evidence of having been deliberately set. The building was owned by two partners, Blackmar and Kett, who had been doing a thriving business in the black market. When federal investigators began to investigate their illegal sales, Blackmar, one of the partners, hired a gang of arsonists to destroy the building and the evidence. This gang is headed by a sinister character named the Moth. As today's story opens, we find Tracy and Patton at headquarters completing their investigation of the Black Marquette Corporation. Tracy's at the phone.
Yes, I see. A Miss Spindle, huh? She says she worked for them about a year. Oh, thanks a lot. I'm sure this is going to be very helpful.
Who is that, Dick?
Jorgens, the Internal Revenue Department, Pat. They're as much interested in this fire as we are.
Yeah, those fellows, Blackmar and Kett, seem to be interesting an awful lot of law enforcement agencies. What's the picture on this one?
Well, it seems the federal government was preparing a tax evasion charge against the Black Marquette Corporation, and this fire has given them quite a setback.
How come?
Well, it would permit the company to claim that all of its records were destroyed in the fire, Pat. Blackmar and Kett could write off a large amount of their tax by claiming loss of personal property that was supposed to be in the building.
In other words, one branch of the government is interested because the fire destroyed evidence of illegal dealings in hardware.
Uh-huh.
Another branch is interested because the company may avoid paying a large income tax. The insurance underwriters are interested because the building was heavily insured, and
we're interested because a man died in this fire.
Well, you've got to give those fellas credit. They don't operate in a small way.
Yeah, they certainly don't, although I don't think it's credit that they should get.
Well, maybe we ought to get together with these other fellows who want to know more about the Black Marquette Corporation and pool our information.
Which is exactly what I've been doing, Patrick, remember?
You mean all that stuff you were saying over the phone about a Miss Pringle or Spindle or something?
Spindle, my boy, Spindle.
Well, who is she anyway?
She used to be Blackmar's private secretary. She's already given valuable information to the Internal Revenue Department.
Well, if she used to work for Blackmar, why is she so keen on testifying against him?
Well, according to what Jorgens told me over the phone, she disapproved of Blackmar's business methods and resigned a short while ago.
Well, maybe she just got fired and is trying to get him in trouble by making up a lot of fancy stories.
Well, that's always a good possibility, Pat. But I don't think there's any harm in my having a talk with her anyway. I think I'll do it right now. Isn't my old friend, Cupie. What are you doing out of jail, Cupie?
Same thing you are, making an honest buck here and there.
Making a buck, I have no doubt. The honest part, I'll have to see.
You know, that's the trouble with you cops. You never believe that a guy can go straight.
That's where you're wrong, Cupie. I don't give up on a man easily, but in some cases, my faith has become a little shaken, particularly after 10 or 12 convictions.
But I've never been convicted for nothing serious, just boyish pranks.
Particularly those black market coupons you were counterfeiting. That was quite a prank, Cupie.
I was framed. Anyway, that's all over. Straight and steady, that's me from now on.
Well, I hope so.
Give my regards to boys at the station. I won't be seeing them again.
Maybe. Maybe not, Gilby. Well, let's see. Apartment 1G was 1G. Here it is.
Yes?
I'm Inspector Tracy from headquarters, madam. May I come in?
I suppose so.
Thank you.
What did you want to see me about?
Well, I'm checking up on the recent fire that destroyed the warehouse of the Black Marquette Corporation.
I don't know anything about it.
Yes, I'm sure of that, but I understand that you might be able to give us some facts that would help us get to the bottom of this case.
I don't know anything.
You gave very valuable information to the men from the Internal Revenue Department.
I didn't. That is, it was all wrong.
Now, look here, Miss Spindle. Has anyone threatened you?
Of course not.
You didn't by any chance just receive a visit from a man named Cupid, did you?
Cupid? I never heard of a man named Cupid.
Miss Spindle, I wonder if you realize that this case involves more than the burning of a building. It involves the death of a man. It involves murder.
Murder?
Yes. And by concealing important evidence, you're making yourself an accomplice to that crime.
It won't do any good. I still can't say anything.
You realize, of course, that you're playing right into these criminals' hands by refusing to talk, don't you?
Get out. I don't know anything. Get out. I don't know anything.
Go on, Cupid. Tell me more.
That's about all there is, Moss.
And you're sure it was Dick Tracy you saw going into Miss Spindle's apartment house?
Of course I'm sure. He even spoke to me.
Well, then he saw you. Do you think he knew that you had been to see Miss Spindle?
This I doubt. There's maybe 20, 30 apartments in the building.
Mm-hmm. And do you think Miss Spindle conveyed any nuggets of information to our fair-haired detective?
If you mean, did she sing? No. I doubt it. I got that dame so scared she wouldn't say hello to her own mother.
I'm curious to know what persuasive you used that so terrified the lady in question.
You know, it's amazing how scared most people are of fire.
That's what I thought. However, I don't like Tracy nosing around this case. I don't like his having seen you there. He's not the stupidest detective in the world, you know.
Relax, Mort. I never had no arson rap charged to me yet. There'd be nothing to make Tracy suspicious.
But it means that they're beginning to put pressure on Blackmar. It also means that they think the fire may not have been accidental.
Mm.
I'm still somewhat worried about that Spindle woman. She has seen you in Blackmar's office many times when you were selling him ration stamps. If she should decide to talk, your value to the organization would be over.
Maybe we should ought to take care of her now.
Enough. Just yet. Once you start killing, it's like a chain reaction, almost impossible to stop. I don't like anything I can't control.
You can't control fires, and yet they don't seem to bother you, none.
Well, that, Cupid, is different. You know Blackmar pretty well. Can he stand the heat of an investigation?
Hard to say. Kind of a nervous little guy, though.
It probably wouldn't be a bad idea if I had Flame keep a close watch on him so we can be prepared if he shows signs of cracking.
Just what I was going to suggest.
He's dropping again, Flame. Maybe I should record all my conversations to save you the trouble of listening.
Oh, no. That would take all the fun out of it.
She's your girl, Chief, and you know what's best, but if she was mine, I'd give her the hot foot of all time.
Well, I'm not your girl, and I'm not the Moss girl, and don't ever forget it. I have no intention of being anyone's girl.
You may not live long enough to be anyone's girl, either.
I wonder why everyone loves me so.
All right, break it up.
Society dames hanging around the rackets to pick up a cheap thrill. Why don't you latch onto some striped-shirted square with a Windsor tie like she ought to? What's she gonna bother us for?
Would you care to tell him, Maud?
Look, Cupid, you know that through Flame Society connections, she steered us to some of our most profitable clients. How else would we have known, for instance, that Blackmar was in trouble and was ripe for our professional services?
Yeah. But who was it made the big pitch, huh? Who was it who actually steered Blackmar in to see it?
Cupid, I'm not trying to take any credit away from you. Your contacting of clients who are ready to talk business with us is a great value to the organization. You merely serve on a different
echelon, shall we say.
Different echelon. All right, say it. It will make you feel good.
But remember that you're both of any use to me just as long as no one suspects your connection with the outfits. Now, QP, I'd suggest that you run along and try to find out if Dick Tracy got any information out of that Miss Spindle, particularly any information about you. If he did, I think you know how to proceed.
Right, Chief. Although I think we ought to proceed that way anyway.
QP?
Okay, Mark. Whatever you say.
May I suggest that he needs to be taken down a few pegs?
He's a petty racketeer who's getting his first taste of a big organization. However, he'll bear watching.
I've known a few men who offered a lady a cigarette first.
I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that you're old enough to smoke here. Yeah.
Thanks. No, don't waste a match. I'll light it from yours. Now, what's all this about Blackmore?
The local police seem to think the fire may not have been accidental. They've put Dick Tracy on the case.
Is that bad?
Not good, but the point is, they're putting the heat on Blackmore, and I want to be sure he can take it. Do you think you can find out what his plans are?
I also am rather persuasive along my lines.
Yes, so I've noticed. What do you plan on doing?
This. Hello, Tookie. This is Flame. Is that wake you're throwing still planned for tomorrow night? Good. I wonder if you'd do me a favor. Would you invite that fascinating Joe Blackmore? He's cute.
In a moment, we'll return to Dick Tracy. But first, in the words of Webster, gala means a festivity, a gay holiday. And what could better describe the Bing Crosby Show? It's a festivity of song and music that provides one of the gayest half-hour holidays you can find on the air Wednesday nights. As your host, there's Mr. Bing himself, singing popular melodies in his own inimitable style or blending his voice with the famous charioteers. And then there's that amazing pianist, Skitch Henderson, tinkling the ivories to top tunes of today. John Scott Trotter and his orchestra playing music that'll make you want to get up and dance. Each Wednesday p.m., Bing also has celebrated guest stars on hand to join in the fun. Popular people from stage, screen, and radio that you all know and like. So, Tracy fans, for really top entertainment, be sure to listen tonight to the Gala Bing Crosby Show. And here are three other listenable shows that you'll want to enjoy tonight. There's the Merry Willie Piper Show, Pot of Gold, and Henry Morgan Shows, which we'll also bring you tonight over most of these same ABC stations. Now, back to Dick Tracy.
Well, Dick, did you find out anything from Miss Spindle?
I think maybe I did. Patrick, I want you to find out all you can about a certain petty racketeer, a man named Cupie.
Will Dick Tracy uncover Cupie's connection with the case? Tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, for The Adventures of Dick Tracy, written for radio by John Ray. This is George Gunn speaking. Well, Tracy fans, if you want to hear some really good arguments where the debaters know what they're talking about, listen to America's Town Meeting of the Air tomorrow night. Famed experts speak on both sides of important national and international issues. Naturally, a person talking for one side forgets to mention a few facts that might weaken his argument. But on America's Town Meeting, there are experts on the other side, too, who make sure that you hear those facts. So, Tracy fans, if you'd like to try to understand today's problems, tune in to America's Town Meeting of the Air tomorrow night on most of these ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.